If you like betting on golf, but everyone that you back misses the cut, get some experts involved with all the stats and the tips and so much more. 'Cause it's the golf betting system. The golf betting system is the golf betting system podcast.
Greetings and welcome to the Golf Betting System podcast. It's episode 382. This is our 2026 AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am Tips podcast. Barry O'Hanrahan and Paul Williams join me, Steve Bamford, to discuss this week's signature event, PGA Tour action. Good morning, gents.
Good morning, guys.
Morning, guys.
This podcast is for listeners of 18 and above. Please be gamble aware. You can visit gambleaware.org for more information. And of course, please bet responsibly. Visit our world-famous golf betting system website, where we have my in-depth betting preview for the AT&T Pebble Beach. Paul has been in the stats lab pulling together this week's data. We have Pebble Beach strokes gained rankings, well worth a look. Detailed course form, player form and combi sheets. Plus new and old predictables for the PGA Tour action this week. All of our content is available completely free of charge. There is no paywall or registration required. We're available on X. You can follow us. Barry is at A Good Talk Golf. Paul is at Golf Betting. I am at Bamford Golf. On Blue Sky, search for Steve Bamford and Paul Williams. Subscribe to the Steve Bamford Golf YouTube channel, where this podcast is available each and every week. If you are listening on YouTube, please hit that like button and subscribe to the channel. Now, you guys as listeners power this podcast, so we need your five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts as ever. For those of you who leave a review, I'll read them out at the start of a future show. Leave your name and where you are in the review. We've received this, chaps, from Columbus, Ohio in the United States. It's from Squeezer High Cuts. Thank you, Squeezer. Entitled, Keep Up the Good Work, Gents, 5 stars. Long-time listener from Columbus, Ohio. Love hearing a different perspective from over the pond. It's a nice refresher from the other golf pods I listen to here stateside. Would love to have you guys do one and done picks for the tour if time allows. Cheers. Thank you from Squeezer High Cuts. Or thank you, Squeezer High Cuts. That's much appreciated.
Brilliant stuff. Glad you enjoyed the pod.
That is one of the best name, you know, I don't know, forum names or online names ever. Squeezer High Cuts, brilliant. I love it. And just to add, I play 2 one-and-dones. I think I've once got into the places for cash in a season over maybe 8 or 10 years of playing them. So I will be happy to give you a pick every week, but that's probably just the one to avoid. So if that's any help to you.
Yeah.
Before we press on, can you just take the listeners quickly through the 2026 Golf Betting System Majors competition sponsored by Bet365, please?
Yeah. We're seeing entries trickle through now, and I guess it will get more and more busy as we get towards the cutoff point, which for this year's majors competition is the first tee time at Augusta National in April. So basically what we need you to do is we need you to pick a player for each of the 4 majors, one for the Masters, one for the PGA Championship, one for the US Open, one for the Open Championship, and get those 4 different names entered through one of the means that you can enter by, which is via X, via Facebook, via email, via Blue Sky. And basically what we'll do is we'll collate the dollar earnings in a little leaderboard for each of the 4 players that you pick for their respective major, create a global leaderboard for everybody. And at the end of the Open Championship, we will name our winner and our second and third place players, who will each win cash prizes, £150 to the winner, or currency equivalent, £75 to the second, and £25 to the third place finisher. Free to enter, effectively a one and done, so you can only pick each player once. And all we need you to do is tell us who you want to pick for each of the majors. Simple as that. So yes, we've had some interesting entries so far. Some people playing very kind of straightforward lines. Some people going completely left field. So how you play it is totally up to you. But do get your entries in. All a bit of fun.
Could I have three entries this year? Like I've never even sniffed the top half of the field.
No, Barry, one entry per person. Even for you.
What percentage of the field do you think will have Scheffler at the start of their four players?
I would guesstimate right now for the Masters that of the entries we've had so far, Scheffler is probably 60 to 70% of the entry for the Masters so far. Extremely popular. And he's going to be an extremely short price favourite for it as well. So that's fairly straightforward pick for some, I guess.
My friend sent me a screenshot of odds to win all four majors this year.
Mm.
Yeah. So Scotty Scheffler is 81, which means he's 3-1 for every major. And Rory McIlroy is 276. Bryson's 401. It's just he's on a different planet when it comes to the bookies.
Yeah. And that's the cumed odds, or that is actually what's available out there at the moment.
That was just a Paddy Power price, but 81 as an accumulator it should be 3-1 for all four, just multiplied up.
He's got a chance, hasn't he? You know, we talked about it last week. You know, Scotty's often relatively slow coming out the blocks, so to have seen him win already this season, and, you know, we'll talk about it last week in a second, I guess, but, you know, with a better first round last week, then that could have been different again.
Going for a career Grand Slam, believe it or not. Amazing. Let's quickly talk DP World Tour. I want to go on to the WM Phoenix Open after that. So, another victory, Paul, for the astonishing Patrick Reed last week.
Yeah.
On the DP World Tour.
Yeah, he's won two of the four events over on the DP World Tour so far this season. Could have been three because he lost the playoff the week before as well. So, I don't know. It's just outstanding golf that he's playing. And we know what Patrick Reed historically has been about in terms of his game. But the number that gets me is his strokes gained tee to green stats from his last three starts. He's ranked first, fourth and second for strokes gained tee to green over the last 3 weeks. And for Patrick Reed, who we know is an incredible player around the greens, when he's putting well, he can be devastating with the putter. For him to be hitting those kind of numbers from a strokes gained tee to green perspective is just incredible.
Remember when he was playing LIV, we were saying this last year, that he'd found, you know, pre-majors, looking at players, you know, bigger prices. You kept highlighting the fact that Reed had kind of had this complete change of starting to hit tons of fairways and tons of greens.
Mm.
And it's clearly transferred now that he's clear on where he wants to play his golf.
Yep.
It's also clear that he's going to be playing PGA Tour at the start of next year because he's going to finish in the top 10 of the DP World Tour qualification rankings.
Well,
it's impossible not to now. He's won two, I'd suggest. He finished second in the other.
I looked at the points yesterday just to put it into context in my own mind. He is on 2,259 Race to Dubai points. So that at this stage, that's good enough for what would have been the eighth of 10 PGA Tour cards last year. It would have been good enough for the sixth of 10 the year before. So I think whichever way, he's up to 17th in the world now. Whichever way you cut it, Patrick Reed is playing full-time PGA Tour golf next year. I don't think there's
with priority out of the 10, right, he'll be top two or three at the very worst of those 10 going across, so that should slip him into a couple more tournaments.
I think we're too early to call this at this stage, but if Patrick Reed continues his form, let's say if he wins the Masters, let's say he finishes top two, top three at the Masters, then goes on to continue to have a fantastic year. The points accumulation could put him in a position where he is seriously contending for the Race to Dubai title. Yeah. Bear in mind, Rory won with sub 6,000 points last year, and Reed is already on nearly 2,500. So, yeah, just fantastic golf. I don't think you can say anything else. I was my best was Grant Forrest T15 in the end. Just couldn't get anything going. Disappointing start for me at the start of this year for over in the Middle East. So let's hope that the African move from next week onwards is a little bit more fruitful.
He's 17th in the OWGR.
Mm.
Yeah.
What is he in data golf? He has to be well up there as well. He's 37th in data golf.
Yeah.
He's now also
or 20th in their point in the data golf point based rankings. It's great that we have three different rankings to go off of now. It's not confusing in the slightest.
Well, you've also got your live friends now that are earning OWGR points from last week as well.
Yeah,
I'm delighted about that.
Yeah,
like honestly, like as annoying as it was to split up golf, I'm delighted there's actually legitimacy to their competitions. It was just a farce. It's great. And it's a pathway to things happening. Ultimately, my thoughts are DP World Tour and Live probably merge. There's not enough space for all three, really. But it was the first week since Live has come around that I actually looked at the leaderboard and tried to just follow what was happening because there was something on the line other than money.
Yeah, I get that. I think what was interesting last week, and I know that some of the more vocal Live players have still been grumbling about the way that the OWGR points are attributed to the final leaderboard, just down to 10th place. But Elvis Smiley earned more world ranking points last week for his win than Patrick Reed did for his on the DP World Tour. Mm-hmm. So that puts it into context, I guess, as to where Liv actually sits in the food chain.
It kind of feels like no matter what they did, they were never going to get given the world in terms of ranking points when they finally, the doors were open to that. Mm. So
no.
This is like, it's open now. Fix a couple more things, get a few more points further down the leaderboard or whatever. Like it's a good thing.
Yep. Yeah, it just standardizes everything, doesn't it? And there needed to be a reaction, I think, to all of the column inches that had been written and the opinions that had been out there over the last couple of years.
To clear up in Qatar, I landed Oliver Lindell each way, 30-1 with Betfred.
Yes, he had a chance as well.
Did have a chance.
An unfortunate victim of melty wings when he got to the top of the leaderboard, Steve.
Yeah, for sure.
Just a bit.
He's a definite slow burn when you look at his position by round. He does like a ninth, a tenth, doesn't tend to get too close to the top. And if he does, yes. He's undoubtedly talented. He's going to be one of these ones that just is painful. And then eventually he'll win at a ridiculously short odds. You can see Lindell being that sort, potentially.
Yeah.
Now, let's travel over to the WM Phoenix Open, where this guy has turned into a bit of a phenom as well on the quiet, hasn't he? Chris Gotterup won at 50-1. That was the best price, Monday price on offer last week with BetMGM. He's now won three of his last nine main tour events. And we were talking about OWGR rankings. I believe Gotterup's now ensconced in the world top 10. Better check that before I've actually said it already, haven't I? So
he's fifth.
There you go, he's fifth. I'm sure I saw it yesterday. So, Gotterup won the Sony, and he took out the Phoenix Open. I was preaching last week about putters. You know, you're going to have to do a lot of work with a putter last week. But these numbers really grabbed my attention with Gotterup. Four strokes off the tee, 4.8 on the approach, 4.5 around the greens, Amazingly, he wasn't first for tee to green. That was Si Woo Kim. And he actually lost strokes with the putter, got her up. But I know, yeah, we're going around the two main issues here. Paul, clearly you were on Hideki, and I'm sure the whole podcast and all the listeners of share the pain you're feeling this Tuesday morning with Hideki.
Yeah.
You probably don't want to talk about it, but see it as therapy.
I'm not sure everyone's going to share the pain with me. They can probably appreciate it. Yeah, look, it's that ultimately is golf, isn't it? It's sometimes a player will get himself into position and it just won't happen when push comes to shove. 18, he had his one shot lead, and the drive was just indicative of where he'd been all day. In fact, pretty much for the entire tournament, he was awful off the tee. Everything else was fantastic, wasn't it? If you look at him statistically, second for approach, second for around the green, third for putting, and the eye test on Hideki in terms of his putting was generally fantastic. He was nailing a lot of decent par putts, but decent birdie putts as well. Just needed to find a way to one good drive up 18, or one not disastrous drive, and he wins the tournament. But couldn't do it. Even left himself still to a 20-25 footer, which he had been making early in the round to save par. So had he made that, he would have won the tournament, and that would have been quite a fitting way to win it. I think it would have been in keeping in line with what he'd done further. Earlier during the day, but yeah, couldn't do it. And then when Gotterup smashed his drive in the playoff, 340 plus down the middle of the fairway, Hideki stood no chance, I don't think. He was getting some grief from the crowd as well, which I think was, you're always going to get it in Phoenix because of the jungle juice that's floating about, but it was very, it must have been quite intimidating for him on both 18 and regulation, and also in the playoff. But, it's a pro, should be able to put that to one side and still execute a golf shot, which he couldn't do. But yeah, fair play to Chris Gotterup. That's 2 50-1 winners for him in this season. So, same kind of price both times. So I expect there's some Gotterup fans out there who have made some hay. Yes.
Bit of a
50-1.
Yeah. Here were my top strokes gained total players on my preview last week over the last eight events. Scotty Scheffler won, a tie for second, Si Woo Kim, Jake Knapp, who you were on, Barry, so well done for that. He got eighth place. So I take it you won eight places each way.
I had 10, actually, so I was quite reasonably safe. Comfortable. Reasonably comfortable. Yeah. Still a sweat when somebody's flirting with dropping out.
So you've got Si Woo Kim, Jake Knapp, and Hideki Matsuyama tied for second. And Chris Gotterup, who was up to 50-1, was number five. Now, if you look at the finishing positions of that Phoenix leaderboard, there's quite a few players I've mentioned there in up there. In fact, all of them. So Gotterup, if you just ignored the fact that A, he'd won already, and B, he'd been to Phoenix twice and missed the cut both times, 50-1 on Gotterup was a bloody good prize.
That's your old school version of your finding a good price for somebody whoever was the highest in OWG or for a tournament. But this is a bit more, I suppose.
It was the same with Justin Rose the week before, wasn't it? He was 66-1 and he was in the top 10 in the world.
Yep.
Yeah. Are we overcomplicating things as always?
I think so. So again, since the start, we've had, I keep reviewing this, so Gotterup 50-1 at Sony, Rose 66-1 at Farmers, Gotterup again 50-1 plus. Won the PGA Tour event. And if it's not those guys, it's the favourites. Scheffler, twice. Xander won at the end of last year, 10-1 favourite. And Ben Griffin, 12-1 joint favourite. Going back to Cam Young, 66-1 at the Wyndham in full field events on the PGA Tour. Clearly, this will get broken, but it's either 50-1 and above or the favourite on the PGA Tour of late.
Got her up some on a nice variety of courses, just to jump in quickly there.
Mm-hmm.
Myrtle Beach, Scottish Open, Sony Open, and then Phoenix. Yep. Like that, there's I think we're going to have to keep pencil him in for maybe a Masters each way.
A lot of people have been backing him.
Mm.
You look at that. He's got desert on sort of a Bermuda overseed. Myrtle Beach was Bermuda. He's won on Fescue in Scotland. And what was the other one?
So Sony, Phoenix, Scottish and Myrtle.
Oh, yeah. So Sony again. So Bermuda.
And a very different style of golf course as well.
Mm. Yeah. I read an interview at the Myrtle Beach as he was about to win that. And he mentioned in a, they said to him, well, you don't appear to have done much since you became a PGA Tour member. And he basically said, yes, I've struggled, blah, blah, blah. And it's been difficult for me because in my career, from the early days, I've been used to winning lots of tournaments. And it was that positivity that I kind of noted, where you listen to someone like a Sam Burns and he basically says, well, I might win or I might not win. It's in the hands of God. And that never, ever, ever fills me with enthusiasm. Where Gotterup saying, yeah, I'm used to winning. And it's that kind of mentality. It's in his control to win rather than Sam Burns saying it's in another person's or another being's ability to win.
Mm. He's just figured out a way to do it here on the highest level now.
So I'm not sure this Gotterup's going away.
Doesn't look like it at the moment.
No.
On Hideki, he always seems to just have like one speed of swing, like just on the driver. It's just smashy bashy full power. I wonder if this kind of triggers him to think maybe I'll just try to develop a fairway finder tee shot, because Sunday he hit three fairways out of 14 or 13, which just on any other course he would have been just dead, but there was a bit of space here on the fair, around the fairways and in the desert, so he was able to kind of get it around.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to shoot 68 like he did was phenomenal on Sunday.
Yep.
And again, any other course he's high 70s or mid-high 70s that day. Mm. But just shows you how good he is. But I wonder if this triggers him to find another weapon for his game and just have that little fairy finder tee shot when it's really not going well.
Well, on a relatively short course, and last week he had a bit of altitude as well, some of the sensible plays are just to find a fairway and bank on your approach shots. Well, given that he was second for strokes gained approach in the entire week, even from some of the horrific places that he left himself, then that element of his game was more than good enough to win the golf tournament. It was just needed to give himself some more chance off the tee. Yeah.
Just for reference, before we move on, Hideki is 30-1 to win the Masters. And that's generally available. Patrick Reed is 28 and below. And you've got Chris Gotterup now. He's a 55-1 chance with Bet365.
Yeah. Well, there is this, when we get closer to the Masters, we'll talk about it, but players that have already won in the calendar year is often a fair determinant of the Masters champion. So I think he's got to be in the thinking.
Just for your reference, Barry, your favourite, Patrick Cantlay, is 28-1 with BetMGM for some reason. He's 66-1 with Boyle Sports. So there's a little bit of a difference of opinion there on Patrick Cantlay.
Barry's for the favourite. Masters. I'm not sure that's the case.
Now, this has inspired me. Chris Gotterup's inspired me, chaps. We've got a little bit of time because there's only one tournament this week. I'm going to ask you a question. Chris Gotterup became a double West Coast winner this season. He's won the Sony at 50-1 and the WM Phoenix at 50-1. Now, I went back to 2010. I've got four different players that have won twice on the West Coast swing in a season. Can you name any of the four? Going back to 2010.
In a season?
Jimmy Walker.
Paul's got one. Jimmy Walker. He did the double. That was the 2014. Obscure one. Walker won the Sony Open at 40-1 and Pebble Beach at 28-1. So there's one, Jimmy Walker.
Did Max Homer win two?
I was stop stealing my guesses.
Sorry, okay.
No, did he?
Did who?
Max Homer.
No.
That's amazing for all the wins he's got on the West Coast. Mm. Also, Sony Open, you know, technically West Coast swing. Like, it's in Hawaii. It's kind of... That's an asterisk. Sorry,
I'll
Jimmy.
I'll stop it.
Yeah.
Three more to go.
Xander?
Give us some clues, Stephen.
I'll go for the most obvious one. He won three times in 2023. He no longer plays on the PGA Tour.
John Rahm?
Yes. He won the Century, 7-1 favourite. He won the Amex, 15-2 favourite. He won the Genesis, 15-2 favourite.
Yes, yeah, I remember.
Are we going to be saying the same thing about Scottie Scheffler in a couple of weeks' time, chaps? There's two to go. I'll give you one as a year. It was 2017.
Justin Rose?
Nope. He does share the same first name, though.
Thomas.
Justin Thomas. He did the double. I thought you might get this one. He, if you remember, 2017, he won the Century. I was on board 22-1. And then the week after, went to Wailea, won the Sony at 14-1. So Walker, Thomas, Rahm, Gotterup. There's one left now, and this is the one, Paul, the obscure one. I was pretty confident you would get this particular individual because this is the kind of anally retentive stuff you remember. Now, this was in 2011, and it isn't a big-name golfer.
Oh, it's not Stuart Appleby, is it?
Good guess, but of that ilk. He won the Sony Open at 80-1 and then the WM Phoenix Open at 80-1.
Phoenix. JB Holmes?
No. That's good guess.
Before his time.
Shall I put you out of your misery?
Yeah, go on.
Mark Wilson.
Oh, stop. I'd be here all day and I'd never have.
Oh, no. We won't get into Wilson.
Mark Wilson.
What's he doing now?
See what he looks like.
I believe Mark Wilson also won the Bob Hope Lottery. He was a bit of a West Coast phenom.
Hmm.
It's the only place he ever did win, but... Yeah, Mark, I thought you'd get the one, Paul.
No, Jimmy Walker sticks in the mind, but yes. Yeah, Mark Wilson, no. I think as Barry said, you could have given me a lot of guesses and I don't think I'd have got there.
There you go, 5 PGA Tour victories for Wilson, Honda Classic, Mayakoba, then he won Sony and Waste Management, and then the year after that, went back to California and won the Humana Challenge, the Bob Hope Lottery, as it was called.
What a career, then. 5 wins.
You know.
There you go, made his money.
The West Coast swing continues, and we're onto the first of the signature event tournaments this week. So what do I mean by that for new listeners or new to golf betting? What's the best way to explain it? Basically, 80 best players on the PGA Tour currently. So it's a short field. They're playing this at the iconic Pebble Beach Golf Course where they play 3 of the 4 rounds. It's a pro-am. And where this used to be extremely painful to watch because... You know, I like Bill Murray, but come on. or Kenny G. It used to be a pro-am for all four rounds, and it was absolutely atrocious to watch and very, very slow. The PGA Tour have got their heads around that, and they've made it so the actual pro-am element of this is only 36 holes across Thursday and Friday, which means they play one other golf course, which is, this used to be three separate golf courses, didn't it?
Yep.
Yeah.
They've now decided that Spyglass is the alternative course, Spyglass Hill. So, yes, one round at Pebble, one round at Spyglass, and then we move forward to Pebble Beach for the Saturday and Sunday rounds. No cut. Tons and tons of cash. The prize fund, I believe, is $30 million. Not bad. Not bad for a short field, is it, chaps?
Not bad at all.
I love this week because Instagram and Twitter just gets like flooded with images of everybody playing Cypress Point, and that's just really cool to see. It's a great looking course. So, I do like the new format as well. It stops it being that 6.5 hour drudgery of long rounds, and I think it's kind of a sweet spot.
Yeah. I've over-egged it. It was £20 million prize fund, but even so, it's not bad money, is it? $3.6 million to the winner.
I'm just going to withdraw, right?
We've done this now twice. Wyndham Clark won this in 2024. They only played it three rounds because the weather was so bad. He shot 17 under. Last year, Rory McIlroy, first PGA Tour event of 2025 for him. He'd come from fourth at Dubai Desert Classic. He won at 21 under par. They won in completely different ways. Wyndham Clark was holing everything on the greens. He gained, these numbers are crazy. He gained 7 strokes with the putter in three rounds. He only gained 4.5 tee to green. And then last year, McIlroy gained 9.7 tee to green and 4.2 on the greens. I said this last week, and got a rub one with negative putter, but effectively it looks like you need to be gaining at least a stroke per round on the greens this week. Poana Greens. Let's talk about the agronomy. I know that agronomy heads out there love it. Pebble Beach itself. Ryegrass with Poana fairways. We've got the perennial rye and poa for the rough. It's 2 to 3 inches. They stated last year, or Rory did, that they'd really set this up nice and easy. And, you know, on the PGA Tour, there's a surprise. The greens, 3,500 square feet on average, tiny, tiny greens, Poana putting surfaces. The one round at Spyglass Hill, exactly the same agronomy. Their greens are slightly bigger at 5,000 square feet. If the weather allows here, it's going to be a birdie fest. And there's meant to be rain falling both today and likely tomorrow to soften that course up. I did note last year that the local fire service had attended Wednesday evening into early Thursday morning and made the greens nice and soft for the best players in the world prior to last year's event. I would suggest that the rain's going to do that job for them, and the fire tender can stay in Monterey and not attend the golf course. I don't see anything really that suggests this won't be a birdie fest this week, unless the weather has changed. And I do make a note of this. Last year when I did all the homework for this, it basically said it wouldn't blow over 10 miles an hour, and then it did. It was 20 miles an hour on the Friday, and it blew up to 30 miles an hour across both the Saturday and the Sunday. I'm just opening up my Windfinder weather app right now to see what the weather's saying.
Bit, Bit of wind on, what are you, Sunday. 22 kilometers an hour, gusting 40 on Saturday, and then Sunday 30, gusting to 50 kilometers an hour.
Wind finder here for me saying, yeah, up to 30 mile an hour wind on Sunday, and it's saying Saturday is going to be quite soft and tranquil.
With a long range forecast of 20 mils of rain at 10 p.m. Ireland UK time, which is 2 p.m. California time. There's a huge river coming.
I know for a fact, just this has been apparent across the whole of the last 4 or 5 weeks I've been looking at this. Tuesday and Wednesday for practice are going to be bloody horrible. It's raining and it's going to be gusting 30, 40 miles an hour. But then it looks to me as if the place becalms. So Thursday, Friday, I'm not seeing wind above 15 miles an hour. And then the same Saturday, Sunday, the wind comes back. But I think what you're going to get is a nice, soft setup this week. But what also is noticeable, and this has been the same here for the last 2 years, very UK, Irish, Northern European temperatures. Nothing more than 14 degrees Celsius. Which, if you're one of these Americans that's used to heat wherever you travel, this could be bobble hat territory.
So if your swing isn't optimized for balance with the bobble hat on, you're going to be in trouble on Sunday. Or maybe all week if you've a cold head.
I'm also just looking at the last two renewals here. McIlroy, Lowry, Lucas Glover, you're fine. Justin Rose, Cam Davis, Tom Kim, Seb Straka. Russell Henley was also in there. So that's a lot of non-Americans. 2024, okay. Wyndham Clark won with the putter of God in his hands. But there was Oberg, there was Pavon, there was Dietrich, there was Day. A lot of non-Americans towards the top of the leaderboard. Scotty Scheffler was in there as well. With Mark Hubbard at 200 to 1. God, those were the glory days. So, any more about the courses? Any more about the setup? Have I missed anything on the weather? Is there anything you want to put in there before we go into our selections for this week? I've got four.
No, I think you're good.
I'm going to go in reverse order because, well, I'm not actually. Let's just come out with it. Second week on the trot, I'm going for Scotty Scheffler. So, nothing else to say. He's played here twice. He's been in the top 10 twice. Last week, 2 over in round one. Now, I don't know. He was 10 shots behind the lead going into Friday, and he was playing in the afternoon. So he'd lost the ability to have a little bit of dew on the greens, a little bit of softness early on to make a score like Hideki did on Friday.
Mm.
And he still came just one shot off of that playoff.
Oh, those final three rounds are impressive. Seriously impressive.
He said something about the fact he just couldn't... He couldn't hold the club on Thursday. It was just all very bizarre.
That's what happens when you get old. Your body just wakes up weird sometimes. Scotty's what, like late 20s now? You know, it's going to start getting worse from here on.
He's no spring chicken.
He shot 17 under over the final 54 holes. The only other player to get to that level was Siwoo Kim, who again shot 2 over on the Thursday. He's playing some amazing golf, Siwoo Kim.
Yeah. There's a wind coming, isn't there?
Yeah, feels I did say like last week. He doesn't tend to win off obviousness. He tends to win off like a 21st, a missed cut or something. So what we need to see is him not do so well 1 week and then it's going to likely snap on Bermuda. So I'm on Scheffler. I managed to get, I don't know what price was it, 11 to 5, something like that?
No, it's just over 3 to 1. 16 to 5, I think.
No one's backing him, but I don't really worry about that. No one was backing him before the Amex, and he took that one out. So I've taken the Scheffler insurance policy. That top three finish last week effectively meant that over the last 39 starts, he's now finished in the top three in 54% of them, which is pretty amazing. Right. My next price is at the 30-1 mark. I then go out and above that on my final two. Where are you at, Paul, with this one?
Yeah, well, I've got one just below that, so I'll take you through that now if you like. The shortest player I've backed is Justin Rose. Now, he's 28-1 or thereabouts, 25-28, depends how you play at the moment. Yesterday, he opened up with one firm at 45s and a couple of firms at 40s, and it just seemed completely out of kilter to me. He was, I think he was sitting something like 16th in the betting, that kind of number.
Again?
For a guy who's, as we've said, he's third in the world and demands a hell of a lot more respect than that, I think. And look, those prices were outliers. They've been found, and I think he's at his right price now. But even so, I think that's acceptable to take. I think there's a chance that Justin Rose wins this golf tournament. I mean, we're only 4 weeks into the season, and as we've already touched on, we've seen multiple winners both sides of the Atlantic with Reed and Gotterup. Justin Rose won at Torrey Pines, and he was seriously impressive at Torrey Pines. Absolutely lapped the field, effectively. Week off last week, won this back in 2023. Third last year, was third at the US Open that was held here back in 2019, wasn't it? So yeah. plenty of Pebble Beach form. And yeah, I think it's all going to come down to whether Justin Rose wants to be at that kind of level where he's winning multiple tournaments. But why not? He's, you know, perhaps he's got a taste for it from a couple of weeks back. And
well, it's classical, and he's won here before, and he was in the top. He was in the each way places last year. So why not?
Yeah. I could see particularly at those mad opening prices. There was no reason to.
It just goes to show, and we've mentioned this for a couple of years now. Strokes gained and strokes gained data undoubtedly goes into these odds. You know, when you've got Justin Rose at that price, and you've got the likes of, you know, a Michael Till Bjornsson, a non-winner, way shorter on first shows.
Yep. Yeah, it's just showing a lack of respect. And to Barry's earlier point, ranked the field based on world rankings. And, you know, well, you got the first and the second in there. But, you know, Rose is sitting there in third place. And he deserves to be backed, I think. If you're getting eight places at 25-1 right now, I think there's in a short field there's a really good chance you're going to get an each way payout, and I think he can seriously contend for the title.
Yeah, cannot argue. Barry, what about you? Are you anywhere in this kind of the price point in the market?
Not miles away. I'm going to back Robert McIntyre. So it's more psychological rationale than there's a little bit of golf backup as well. So a few weeks ago, playing some interesting, you know, good stuff to Sony, but breaks his putter, a bit frustrated. The backstory to that is he was waiting for his partner to just have their first baby. So that baby was born on the 28th of January. So now he's had a couple of weeks to adjust, get his head over his little tantrum at a Sony with a putter. Probably, I just figure it, like, the head will be settled a bit more now. The baby's arrived. He'll be in a happy spot. So I think I just wonder if that'll all coalesce into a good week. I was also just looking up the birdies, just ranking the field purely on birdies per round, and he is fourth in your table, Steve. So that kind of merges nicely with what we're expecting to happen this week, and the weather being a bit more European. I mean, you don't get more European than a Scotsman. Yep. So
nappy factor.
So yeah, just nappy factor in those. So I just need to find the right combination of, it seems around 35s, 40s in places, but just what I can find in terms of that plus places. But if he's going to win, why do I care about the places? May as well just go in the nose on Betfair.
This could be a huge season for McIntyre, just to take that ultimate next step. as you say, become a father, that often does galvanise players. And yeah, I think he's a serious consideration for the major championships this year.
We'll, it's not as if he doesn't like coastal golf, is it?
No, not exactly.
And you can throw whatever weather. In fact, the worse the weather, the better.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll just be down to whether he's actually had any sleep in the last 8 or 10 days.
I don't think there's a bad link, you know, between Scottish Open and this as well. If you just look at Wyndham Clark, he's had an 11th, a 10th, a 16th and a 25th, at Renaissance. So there's consistency there. Rory McIlroy, well, we know how he goes around Renaissance. Robert McIntyre, not bad at Renaissance, is he?
No.
That takes me on to Matt Fitzpatrick, who's actually finished second at Renaissance in the Scottish Open. I believe he was beaten by Minwoo Lee. I'm taking Fitzpatrick this week. He's playing so nicely from the end of, you know, from that whole period where he forced himself into a Ryder Cup team. Then he won the DP World Tour Championship at the end of last year. Had a little pre-warm-up at the Amex, blah, 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 blah. Goes to Phoenix, and it was just, you know, he just played so nicely last week. But just didn't putt that brilliantly. He was negative on the putting. He was 8th for off the tee, 8th for approach, 3rd for tee to green, 10th for total driving and 8th for ball striking last week in Phoenix, where he finished 9th. And the other thing I've noted with Fitzpatrick was that when you actually look at his record and you look at when he's won, he finished 10th at the Canadian Open before winning the US Open in 2022. And then he finished 10th at the Masters the week before winning the Heritage in 2023. I don't think the Heritage is too bad a comp either, is it?
No.
Seaside, tiny greens. He won the US Open at 25-1. He won the Heritage at 30-1. So this kind of 30s and above price for Fitzpatrick that you can grab on him. He's finished 5th here in the past. Yeah, I can see Fitzpatrick having a very, very good week. You can grab him right now with BetMGM 40-1. Matt Fitzpatrick. So I am on the man from Sheffield. I could, you know, third PGA Tour victory. If there's one thing that you'd probably say to Matt, he'd say to you, I want a few more victories, high-profile victories over in the States.
Mm.
So a first signature event, yeah, I get that. I could see that one.
Yeah, it was well
so
capable.
Fitzpatrick, 30-1 on the 8 places with me. Now, this one's going to be the most interesting of my selections in terms of you guys and what you're thinking on it. I know he doesn't win a great deal, but if you said to me, coastal golf, soft, damp, apparently there's a 70% chance of rain both today, Tuesday, and also tournament Wednesday. Sunday, and I'm sure that the PGA Tour will get them up at the crackers to avoid it, but it looks like there's a high percentage chance of rain on Sunday. He doesn't win a great deal, but you can't argue with the guy. He did sink the winning putt at the Ryder Cup. And last year, he came close on a number of occasions. He came close to winning this. He came close to winning at Philadelphia Cricket Club when we were on board at the... I forget the name of the tournament now. It used to be the Quail... it's the Truist Championship.
Mm.
That's a long... That's a short classical golf course. That was that Tillinghast design. And then since he sunk the winning putt, he had a great chance in India on the DP World Tour, finished 3rd. And then, of course, last month, he was right in the mix on the 72nd tee, tied with Nacho Elvira in the Dubai Invitational. and made double bogey. So I just think, I just get the feeling that Shane Lowry is trending into a very emotional and long-awaited solo victory. He hasn't won a solo tournament since Wentworth. Back in 22. So I'm on Shane Lowry. I've got 50-1. Love that price point with recent winners. With Betfred, 8 places each way on the Irishman. I've got 1.5 points each way on Shane Lowry, as well as Matt Fitzpatrick in terms of the staking plan. I'm just looking at Lowry. 50-1's pretty much gone. There's a little bit still at BetMGM. They are 5 places each way. Caught the odds, the old industry standard this week. So, I've got to come to you, Barry. Would you be interested in backing Shane this week?
I really like it. I think I'd have to join you on it. I mean, would you like Shane or Maverick McNeely at half the price? Just for context, I'm looking at the strokes gained analysis for the courses. So Shane's 13th. You can remove two or three of them ahead of him with just short amount of rounds. So that means he's top 10 for this tournament. And
yep, he's played a hell of a lot.
And 50-1 is lovely. Maverick McNeely's 25-1. So, I mean, Morikawa is around the same price as Shane. Who are you taking there in that one?
What did you think of Maverick's final round performance in Phoenix when he was right in the heat of battle?
Yeah.
Amazing, eh, with Maverick. So, yeah, I do love the Lowry bet this week. It has to be said. I think him and Fitzpatrick make a very good European side with the weather conditions that are forecast.
Yeah, well, look, I'm going to make it 3, boys, because I'm on Shane as well. I thought that 50-1 price combo with the 8 places that was available for much of yesterday was exactly the right kind of bet. And I'm not sure I can build on what you said too much more, Steve, because it kind of resonates with a lot of my thinking. What I will say about Shane is he's not always the fastest of starters in the season. He has won Abu Dhabi off the bat in the past. But other than that, particularly since the kids have come along for Shane, I think he's a family man now. I suspect there's more focus on other stuff over Christmas. And he's often come out relatively cold at the start of the year. So for him to be standing on that 72nd T, as you said, with a live chance of winning the Dubai Invitational on his restart was interesting. Didn't happen, but the variance of final hole golf, as we saw quite starkly last week in Phoenix, it can go anyway. Worth saying that was a short field pro-am as well, so there is correlation to this week. Talking of pro-ams, he's also got 3 top sixes over the years at the Dunhill Links. So, Linksy, pro-am format.
Throw Fitzpatrick in there as well. He's won that, didn't he? He won that a couple of years ago, Fitzy, in terms of the pro-am format.
Lots of correlation, lots to like. And, I wholeheartedly agree. He's an each-way bet this week.
Hitting greens for fun. This is the last 3 outings on DP World Tour Championship Earth Course, 7th for greens in reg, 14th in Dubai, where should have won, 2nd last time out at Dubai Desert Classic. And actually, off form of, you just read this. So since the Ryder Cup, forget about the miscut, the Open, he was Open d'Espagne, he's still absolutely intoxicated, but 3rd in India, 12th in Abu Dhabi, 11th at the DP World Tour Championship, 3rd at Dubai Invitational, 26th at the Dubai Desert Classic, and you're getting 50-1. It's like, fine, sign me up. I'll have that. Now, my final... this triumvirate that we've pulled together, Justin Rose for you, Paul, we've got Fitzpatrick, we've also got Shane Lowry in there. Love that view. But I just thought to myself, just looking here at the previous 2 signature events here, you had players like Matteo Pavon, who had just won the outing before. This goes for your Justin Rose case. He'd won the week before at the Farmers Insurance Open. He was 80-1 and finished tied for 3rd at this. So if you're looking for a player right now that's playing red hot golf, yeah, and is very high ranking in strokes game metrics over the last eight events and is overpriced. Now, you could look at Michael Thorbjørnsen, Ryan Gerrard, Pearson Coody. They all tick the box. They're young, they're hungry, they're playing great golf. Strokes game rankings are fantastic, but they've been found out in the market as far as I was concerned. The one that didn't is Rio Hitsasuni. So I managed to get him a point each way, 110-1 with Bet365, eight places each way on Hitsasuni. Bearing in mind, Hitsasuni, President's Cup year, you know, we've been saying this all so far during 2026. You're going to get a lot of Australians, Japanese, the South Koreans, South Africans. They're all going to be playing decent golf now moving forward to get into that international team. And we've seen that, haven't we? We had Jason Day at the Amex, Hideki Matsuyama last week. Sorry about that, Paul. I keep mentioning that. Siwoo Kim every single week is at the top of leaderboards. But we've also had Hitsasuni up there. Second at the Farmers Insurance Open at Torrey Pines a couple of weeks ago. Poana. And then last week, he finished 10th ultimately, but he led at halfway and he was still T2 heading into Sunday. So what is to say that Rio Hitsasuni, apart from the fact I'll put some money on him, what is to say that he just doesn't, he just continues to play decent golf this week and actually get a nice each way payout at 110-1 with Bet365, eight places each way via their each way extra facility. So those are my four. I've got Hitsasuni, I've got Shane, I've got Matt, and the insurance policy of Scotty Scheffler. Right, I'll now be quiet. Paul, any more selections from you?
Yeah, I've got two more. I've backed Sahith Tagala at 80-1. Last man into the field in the end on a sponsor's invite. He's hinted at form in each of his four starts this year, and that's really what got me interested, notwithstanding his off-the-tee performances, which have been rivaling Hideki for last week and going a bit full Nick Dunlap occasionally. But outside of that, there have been some decent performances. 31st at the Sony, closed with a 65 for 8th at the American Express, 7th at Torrey Pines. And he was 5th into the weekend last week in Phoenix, finished top 20 in the end. So just these signs, just these sparky rounds that keep cropping up. And if he can put a couple, two or three together this week, then perhaps he can go a little bit better this week. 20th year back in 2024. I did note from your preview that previous winners have tended to have a top 20 or thereabouts around these parts. Yeah. He seems to enjoy the Poana as well. He gained over a shot per round at Torrey Pines. Fourth strokes game putting here last year on the measured rounds. And if you look at Riviera as well, then every time he's played there, Riviera, he's gained strokes with the putter as well. So it all seemed to tie up quite nicely for an each way spot or an each way bet for me. So 80-1, quite happy to take that. The other one's much longer. Ryan Fox, I backed. Again, another one who opened up at a silly price and has been nibbled in. 225-1 was available yesterday when he first opened. Generally, 175-ish. There's a little bit of 200s out there. If you want the extra places right now, you're going to need to go to around about 150-1. But again, in a short field, that's not a bad each way option, I don't think, with extra places. You never quite know what to expect from Fox, but we know that when he's good, he's really very good. Two wins last year on the PGA Tour, well capable of winning more when it all clicks for him. Top 20 last year in Oakmont, which I thought was interesting because that was on Poana. 7th for strokes game putting that week, so showed some aptitude on that putting surface. Stroke game positive in all categories last week in Phoenix, tied for 24th, and that was not a bad finish overall, but yeah, every element of his game was positive, which with Ryan Fox, often you can find that certain parts of his game just drop off completely and that just hampers his overall performance. But if everything seems to be aligned, then that could be quite an interesting bet. We talked about the Dunhill Lynx, he's won that over in Scotland. And again, we talked about the, you know, the correlation with the Lynx setup and the Pro-Am format. He was second there when defending as well. So that wasn't just a one-off. You know, the rounds aren't as slow as they used to be, as you said, but he doesn't mind the format, I don't think. Yeah, at the price, I thought worth an each-way bet. Could sneak into the paying places, potentially, Ryan Fox. So for me, Fox, Tigala, Lowry and Rosie at the top.
Any more from you, Barry?
I'm also on Tigala, Paul. I was on him last week, so I mean, it's about as positive a week as you can have without sneaking into those places. So yeah, nothing further to add. Like, he's trending nicely and feels like the Pro-Am vibe would be just like suit his personality down pat. So
yeah,
I'd one other one I wanted to just check on if you had any thoughts on Stephen Paul. Jacob Bridgman.
He's an absolute short game wizard. And that's not necessarily a bad thing here. Because you're going to be missing plenty of greens, aren't you? So, yeah, there might be something in it.
Yeah, it's a nice long price. Fourth,
I remember 13th, him at the 18th. Truist last year. He, that tournament where Sepp Straka won from Lowry. Bridgman was hanging around that leaderboard all week. Which was impressive because that, I think, would, at that point was his first ever signature event level tournament.
It's just one that popped in the kind of three figure zone. Just wanted to have something out there for fun.
Yeah. Yeah, never know. Could sneak into a place for you, Barry.
I would be fine with that if I can get a 100 to 1, 50 odds, be just fine.
That's us, I believe. I hope your bets go well, champs.
Yeah, best luck, boys.
You too, boys.
If you made it this far on Spotify, press that 5-star button for us. That would be much appreciated. Of course, like this if you are listening on YouTube. Subscribe to the channel. We're not going to have a podcast next week because it's half term over here in the UK. So disappearing away on a bit of a break. We'll be back the week after. There will be full content on the site, though. So full data, full previews. There will be a preview, therefore, for the Genesis, which will be taking place at Riviera. Are you on call next week, Paul? I think, is it your first South African event next week?
Well, we're in Africa. Yeah, we've got the magical Kenya Open next week. Back at Cowan Country Club, which is a track I do like. So hopefully we can get on the winning track there this one next week.
So full previews, data and everything at Golf Betting System, just no podcast next week. The next podcast that we'll be recording for will be, I believe, the start of the Florida Swing, the Cognizant Classic in the Palm Beaches. I can't wait. Right, cheerio then. See you later.
If you like betting on golf, but everyone that you back misses the cut, get some experts involved with all the stats and the tips and so much more. 'Cause it's the Golf Betting System, the Golf Betting System is